Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. So good to be here with you. Now, again, I do apologize if I do sound a little bit flat this week. I feel like there's been some wind taken out of my shoulders this week, because this week has been probably... It's hard to do a high-energy show when you've done so much. I read a lot, and reading a lot about this week, there's just some real negativity, and I feel like that's coming across in today's show, and I do apologize for that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, does this speech sound familiar?
America has elected a new president, and it's almost hard for me to express the honor that I and my family feel that we will have the privilege to serve as your Vice President of the United States of America.
That is a Vice President-elect Mike Pence there, introducing Donald Trump. He continues.
And I'm mostly grateful to our president-elect, whose leadership and vision will make America great again. So let me say, it is my high honor and distinct privilege to introduce to you the President-elect of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
And that's him coming out on stage. If you don't need to play all of that. So here's the beginning of Mr. Trump's acceptance speech of the nomination.
Thank you very much. Just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country.
That is President-elect Donald Trump. That is a terrifying visual right now. If I can show you the visual on the screen, actually, go over to YouTube. I'm going to show this on screen. Enjoy that. Just enjoy all that look. 30 minutes into President and Chill, and Mr. Trump gives you that look. Just enjoy all of that for what that is, by the way. Just that look. And Paul Barron on the side, by the way. I want to point out, Paul Barron on the side. That kid's been up. This is at 3 a.m. Eastern Time. All this is going on, by the way, that Trump makes this speech. So have in mind that this kid is up, and it's a school night too. It's a Wednesday morning, so it's a school night too, so he should be in bed, but isn't. It's beside Donald Trump up at the podium. So here we're going to play two more bits of audio here, and here is Mr. Tim Kaine and Mrs. Hillary Clinton's succession speeches it's coming up here. So here is here's the beginning of Mr. Tim Kaine's introducing Mrs. Clinton.
A great history maker in everything she has done as a civil rights lawyer and First Lady of Arkansas and First Lady of this country and Senator and Secretary of State. She has made history in a nation that is good at so many things, but that has made it uniquely difficult for a woman to be elected to federal office. She became the first major party nominee as a woman to be president, and last night won the popular vote of Americans to be president. We know that the work remains. We know that the dreams of empowering families and children remain. And in that work, that important work that we have to do as a nation, it is so comforting, even at a tough time, to know that Hillary Clinton is somebody until her very last breath is going to be battling for the values that make this nation great and the values that we care so deeply about. So now, please join me in welcoming Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton.
That is Mr. Tim Kaine getting emotional about Hillary Clinton's loss. Here are a few remarks from Mrs. Clinton herself.
Thank you, my friends. Thank you. I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together, this vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
That is Mrs. Hillary Clinton there giving her succession speech. Now, by the way, want to update you on this new of this New Zealand earthquake that has hit. Now, from what I am seeing, the earthquake, my fries are done apparently, my fries are done again, would you look at that, system sounds. So, the earthquake has been downgraded to a 6.6 from what I am reading. Early reports had it at 7.4, it's now been downgraded to a 6.6, I don't know how that happens, but it does. So, this is all in local time, I'm assuming. Aftershocks are happening. Aftershocks are just occurring. So, the statement from Civil Defence, the Ministry of Civil Defence and Emergency Management, has issued a tsunami warning for all eastern coast of the Northern Islands. There were some reports of people trapped under vine tanks, but they're safe and sound. Okay. So, confirmation has just been received that a tsunami has been generated. This is at 7 minutes past the hour, so this is 7 minutes ago. The first tsunami wave activity has been detected in areas. The first wave activity may not be the significant, by the way, so it could continue for some hours. And the threat must be regarded until the warning has been cancelled. So, people in the above coastal areas should, one, stay out of water, stay off beaches and shore areas, don't go sightseeing, share this information with friends, family and neighbours, listen to the radio or TV for updates and follow instructions from the local civil authorities as well, the rolling updates happened live. I won't keep this open. I will keep it saved because that ding is going to annoy it. 6 minutes past the hour, thousands of Central City residents have been evacuated from Wellington. First signs of tsunami waves. So there you go. That is live update from New Zealand. Confirmed by the secretary, the civil people. Despite ABC's reporting, it is a 6.6 magnitude earthquake that has hit New Zealand. We'll give you more details on that as things develop as well. So more noise about this election campaign, which I would rather talk about an earthquake than this election cycle. That's how depressing this is. Here is President Trump alongside him, who doesn't speak, by the way, this time around. Here is President Obama. Standing alongside him is Vice President Biden. Why did I not think of that?
Indicating that actually came true. The sun is up. And I know everybody had a long night. I did as well. I had a chance to talk to President-elect Trump last night, about 3:30 in the morning, I think it was, to congratulate him on winning the election. And I had a chance to invite him to come to the White House tomorrow to talk about making sure that there is a successful transition between our presidencies. Now, it is no secret that the president-elect and I have some pretty significant differences. But remember, 8 years ago, President Bush and I had some pretty significant differences. But President Bush's team could not have been more professional or more gracious in making sure we had a smooth transition so that we could hit the ground running.
That is President Obama at the Rose Garden giving his opinion on his full speech on Mr. Trump winning in the Electoral College. Again, important to note that he did not win the popular vote, he won by the Electoral College. Important to note, Trump, President-elect Trump is at 290, with Mrs. Clinton being at 228. There are still two states that have not been called. There are recounts going on in New Hampshire and in Missouri, I want to say. Why is this not loading? Where is my scripts? Can someone get me my damn scripts? Why isn't on this script? That seems like an important thing to do. Michigan, thank you. Thank you, people. Finally getting that to me. While Mrs. Clinton did indeed receive more popular votes by 40,000. 400,000, rather. About 400,000 from what I'm saying. There are two states that are either too close to call or they are having some recounts. Again, that is Michigan, that is currently leading Trump, but not by much. It's a 0.3% lead to Trump in Michigan, but they're doing recounts. And in New Hampshire, the pinnacle of this, New Hampshire, has a 0.3% lead to Mrs. Clinton. It's not going to change the outcome of President-elect Trump, but the outcome is certainly going to be, the final results aren't known yet until those two states come in, which I think that's going to happen in the next, it's going to have to happen in the next week. Indeed, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Now, Lennon Cohen. It's unfortunate what happened there. People are paying tribute to him because he passed away, I believed. John? People are not saying he passed away. Why are people paying tribute to him? I should know this. We'll figure it out after the break, shall we? Yay! We'll figure out why people are paying tribute to Leonard Cohen after the break. Yeah, he did die, unfortunately. He did die. So he died this week, and we will tell you how people are paying tribute as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. It's 11:21. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's good to be here. Leonard Cohen tragically passed away this week. He passed away. It doesn't say what he passed away from. I think he doesn't say what he passed away from. Yeah, it doesn't say what he passed away from, but died at the age of 82. This is him saying, you want to pause that, Dale? You want to introduce your clip first, then you say what it's about. So this is how podcasting works. So passed away on Monday in Los Angeles at the age of 82. He's performed his last show in Auckland in December of 2013. Footage from that example has surface after the encore. Leonard takes off his signature hat and takes a final bow. He is known as a tireless performer, touring internationally since 1970s while recording many albums, writing novels and poetry. Footage recently surfaced from the Auckland place. I'm going to play this. It's 30 seconds long, so if I talk over it, we're going to get done for copyright, hopefully. And that's him taking off the hat and bowing there. The final moments of the performance would likely be poignant to fans of the Canadian singer who perhaps best known his work for 1984's Hallelujah. Looking somewhat frail, he closed the set with an encore featuring 1974's I've Tried to Love You and a cover of The Drifters' Save the Last Dance for Me. Leonard humbly addressed the crowd, quote, "Friends, I want to thank you the wonderful hospitality you've showed us tonight." That is definitely not audio. Oh, that is audio. Okay. Fans gather to light candles at Canada's home in Montreal. Oh. Paying tribute to Leonard Cohen. That's just audio there. I thought that was something to do with the police, to be completely honest. looking at that. There's some wonderful photos. Quote, I want to say thank you not just for tonight, but for all the years you paid attention to my songs. I really appreciate it, unquote. When the last song finished, the legendary musician waved his signature fedora hat, took a bow, and walked off stage as his band applauded. This would be Leonard's swan song. He did not perform again prior to his death. In September 2014, 9 months later, Leonard issued a brief statement saying there'll be no more tours in the foreseeable future, just days before passing earlier this week. The Quebec-born singer confessed he was ready to die and had made preparations for his death. A statement on Facebook from record label Sony Music Canada said the world was lost without one of music's most revered and prolific visionaries. That's sad. Sad that we've lost yet another awesome person in 2016. There's too much of that going around these days of just too many things. And New Zealand being the last last performances going on. And of course, Kate McKinnon, of course, ruined it by paying tribute to him on Saturday Night Live. So of course, she had to get her mitts all over it and ruin it as well. I'm not doing. I'll do that when I come back from my break. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, we're finally going to get to this story. We're getting to this story. We're finally getting to it. Australia did something weird with the US, and we're here to break it down for you as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 11:30.
This knife has a straight edge on it, so it's very easy. And maybe, in our world here, there lives a happy little mountain.
Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell for a Sunday. Now, I'm getting to this story because I've been promising it for an hour and a half now, and I need to get to it. So, the US, Australia have made ties with the US about a refugee resettlement deal. Now, sound peculiar. That's because it is. Now,
the agreement is with the...
United States. Not want you to play, because I didn't ask you to talk yet. So, here to break it down, here is what's happening. So, in a one-off deal, the United States has agreed to take a resettlement referrals for refugees residing in Nauru and Nuras Island offshore detention facilities. The opportunity is available for those who have already arrived there and will not be offered to those who attain refugee status or come in the future. It's for the people who have made there. And by the way, those two places, which I'm fairly sure I'm saying incorrectly, but not intentionally, is in Australian territory. What we don't know is the number of refugees that will be taking place, or it's not known the arrangement for the families that are currently being split with members in Australia and in detention. We do not know the incoming administration of President-elect Donald Trump, who will take office in January, could respond to the deal. The timeline for the process is unknown. Whether or not Mr. Trump would be too late to abolish it, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said US officials will begin vetting applications in the coming days, and that, quote, we deal with one administration at a time, unquote. So here is Mr. Turnbull kind of breaking down this new deal.
The agreement is with the United States. It is a one-off agreement. It will not be repeated. It is only available to those currently in the regional processing centres. It will not be available to any persons who seek to reach Australia in the future. Our priority is the resettlement of women, children and families. This will be an orderly process. It will take time. It will not be rushed. It will be administered with the UN High Commission on Refugees, and we'll continue to engage with the UNHCR on its implementation. I want to thank the United States for their cooperation. We have a long history of cooperation in which our two nations pursue our mutual and respective humanitarian objectives. Now, we anticipate that people smugglers will seek to use this agreement as a marketing opportunity to tempt vulnerable people onto these perilous sea journeys. As a consequence, and in long anticipation and preparation for this, we have put in place the largest and most capable maritime surveillance and response fleet Australia has ever deployed. Any people smuggling boats that attempt to reach Australia will be intercepted and turned back.
I want to confirm, though, that there are other aspects to the announcement that we make today. One is that we are in final stages of negotiation with Nauru for a 20-year visa. People who are offered a settlement arrangement in the United States and refuse to take that arrangement. So this deal only applies to people who are on Nauru at the moment, prioritising women and children and family units, and with the prospect of providing assistance to others on Nauru and Manus, and including those 370-odd people who have come from Nauru or Manus and are receiving medical attention in Australia at the moment, with the intent of sending those people back to an RPC. That is the only application of this policy, and the announcement today will never ever apply to any prospective arrivals, and let me make that very clear, and I will be making that very clear in the days to come.
That is Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and Immigration Minister Peter Dutton. Now, This has created some confusion amongst certain people, but we want to continue breaking this down, because this is a deal that I don't understand. This is probably one of the deals that I really don't understand. It's baffling to me. So here we will continue breaking this down. So how have the Labor and the Greens responded? Well, opposition leader Bill Shorten expressed in principle support and welcomed the opportunity to get people out of detention. Response of the Greens were mixed, while leader Richard Donati welcomed any initiative for getting people out of detention, but criticising the lack of information. Immigration spokesperson Mick McKim said refugees should be welcomed in Australia and families should be reunited. That's a good point too. So, by the way, does this need to pass Parliament? This is probably the biggest problem I have with this deal. This does not have to go through Parliament at all. So this is essentially an overreach in terms of Malcolm Turnbull and Peter Dutton enacting this deal with the United States. This does not have to go through Parliament at all, which I thought the job of the Parliament was to kind of help craft these deals as well. That's what I thought had to happen, but I guess not. So who wins and who loses in these deals? So women, children and families with refugee status on Nauru and detention centres will be prioritised, while single men on Mullis Island will come after asylum seekers who were not granted refugee status will not be offered resettlement in the US and are still being encouraged to return home. If they don't and they remain on Nauru and or can go to Cambodia under a previously announced arrangement that has been barely used. Okay. Around 370 detainees currently in Australia for medical care included in the arrangement if they have been determined genuine refugees. As the number of refugees that is being offered in the US is unknown, there are some genuine refugees who are forced to wait for another option. What happens to those people who decline the opportunity or are refused entry to the US? Well, refugees who decline being offered a 20-year visa remain on the tiny island of Nauru. Simple as that. The US government could reject some refugees because it has a more rigorous security clearance process than other countries, including Australia. The rising possibility that they would be settled in other countries, including Canada, Malaysia, Philippines, and New Zealand. So this deal spreads further than just the Australian and US. But how did we get here? So the government has long sought to relocate 1,800 people. Most of them are right under the Gillard-Rudd governments. The Papua New Guinea Supreme Court recently ruled the detention centre on Manus Island must close, which increased the urgency for plans to find resettlement options. Very few refugees have taken up offer of resettlement arrangements made with Cambodia and Papua New Guinea. So why do we need to move these people? So detainees have suffered severe mental health problems and including the United Nations, have criticized the conditions and determined solutions found. One person has died of self-immunization and there are regular suicide attempts. There are multiple deaths, including a 23-year-old Iranian who was murdered on Manus Island. There have been many allegations of physical and sexual abuse, and Amnesty International said the offshore processing regime deliberately harmed detainees at amounts to torture. Now, so here's the thing. Now, this deal, it literally came out of nowhere. So I want to say this deal, again, yeah, this deal came out of nowhere. It was drafted and released in a day. Ironically enough, on a Thursday. What happened this week around Wednesday, Thursday? I would have no idea. So that is me trying to make a joke and failing miserably. So that is where I am today. That's where I am this week. I'll be better next week. It's my birthday next week, so I'll be better next week. So it's not my birthday next Sunday. I should mention that it is my birthday at some point next week. So this deal was announced on Thursday. If it wasn't Thursday, it was definitely Friday. It was before the end of the working week anyway. So deal comes out of nowhere. Deal comes out as soon as President-elect Trump gets the title of President-elect, but I suppose that's accurate. That's actually accurate. I want to say this. Prime Minister goes, oh, well, we better get this through. And the fact that it doesn't have to get through Parliament is a little overreach to me. Now, whether this needs to or not's another story. I believe this needs to. I mean, it's an international deal. It's that will affect tons of people. And having it go through Parliament would draft it out and make sure there's no kinks in it and there's no kind of anything's being missed. The Parliament's there to vote, to vote on things like this, to make sure that everything is smooth. If it gets rejected, redraft the deal and then try and negotiate it with Parliament. And same with the US. If things get shut down, redraft it, then, you know, then kind of go in and then try and ram, you know, try and get it through. But I suppose this doesn't, in the one, in saying that though, on the one hand, it's not, what I'm trying to say here, and it's not a local domestic issue, it's an international deal. So that would be the two governments as a whole unit, as an entity, with President Obama being at the top of the chain in the US and Prime Minister Turnbull, last name, President Obama and Prime Minister Turnbull as the two governments working together on this deal, with kind of not having to deal with the local government. But again, these things need to be passed through the local government just to make sure that, you know, there's nothing being missed here. You know, you need to ensure that, and it affects people's lives directly. You have to make sure that everything's being ironed out before these deals. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean for people? So, and it's, again, it's kind of, some people get, from Border Force, by the way, an official who believed to be from the Australian Border Force, who told someone on Moonis Island men that they were to get a ticket to the US, there's no asylum seeker families left on Moonis, just single males. So again, they're second priority. So those who get the golden ticket, that is, actually, by the way, that is kind of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory kind of mentality there. If you get a golden ticket, you're in. I've got a golden ticket. Anyway, so there's confusion now, said Mr. Zazi, who 3 years ago fled the Taliban from his native province. Quote, they told me first priority is families, and after we will take some of you. I asked them, how many, 100, 200, 300? They said they didn't have any answers. Well, we asked about the time. They said it would take a long time. This morning, everyone was smiling. Now everyone is frustrated, unquote. Mr. Khan, who said his family were prospective by terrorist standover men in Pakistan, he said he would be happily to go to the United States if he had the opportunity, Trump or no Trump. But that, quote, they didn't have any answers when they asked questions. So I want to say for the record, by the way, these refugees have no idea what is going on politically. And first of all, I envy them. Second of all, they wouldn't care. So many of these people have come from war-stricken countries. If you're talking about a humane policy, at least, again, construct all of these answers. And that's why you use your local people first to then go. It's like kind of me handing in. It's me handing in a project that, a group project by myself. It's kind of like that, but without having to talk to any of the other group members. The other group members are going, well, what, huh, who, what, how did, what, we didn't agree to this, we didn't say yes to this. It's very much the same thing. And again, this deal came from nowhere. This deal didn't exist prior to Wednesday. It now exists now, so, and we'll find out answers, I suppose, coming up here shortly. But again, we need answers and we need details before you release something like this, if you're going to be claiming to be treating these refugees humanely, yet you're treating them like numbers. I'm confused. Well, what I'm not confused about, though, is our friends over at Australian Gold and Collectibles. Not confused about them. They want to buy your gold, silver, and collectibles. They're going to be in town. They're coming to the Brothers Leagues Club, 99 to 105 Anderson Street in Manunda, this Tuesday, the 15th of November, from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Please note, though, they are particular with some of their item choices, but they make a fair and above standard offers on those items, and with an immediate settlement, you cannot go wrong. They are a credible business and highly respected, with an ABN and a second-hand dealer number as well for Queenslander. That is 3973976. That's 3973976. A trusted name in buying and selling gold, silver, and collectibles. So if you've got some unwanted coins, tokens, banknotes, football, sport, collectibles, and gold, silver bracelets, nuggets, broken bracelets, broken necklaces, single earrings, broken rings, scrap gold, metal, silver, and well, maybe just some pieces that you don't wear anymore. Take them down to the Brothers Leagues Club, 99 to 105 Anderson Street, Manunda, this Tuesday, the 15th of November, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m, and sell them to Australian Gold and Collectibles. If you've got any more questions, you can give them a call at 03-9357-9996 or send them an email, inquiries at agc.melbourne. That is this Tuesday, 15th of November, 11 till 2 at the Brothers Leagues Club at 99 to 105 Anderson Street, Manunda, Kansas. It's Australian Gold and Collectibles. Trusted name in pawning goods. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. More as we continue. It's 11:53. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell, coming into our final segment of the show here. Thank goodness, because I don't know how much longer I can talk about Donald Trump winning the election of the United States any but longer. By the way, I shouldn't say that. That's mean, but it's true, though. You know, that's... it is what it is, and like I said in the first segment of the show, I mean, next week I'll be fine. I think it's just the backlash that I think I've had much more of a problem with than ever before. But to finish off the show, I'm going to talk about Amazon, because fun. No, you know what? Let's not do that. Let's talk Black Friday. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, is a day where, you know, shopping and fun, and you know, it's all about the shopping and where you can find some of the best deals on some hot products the day after Thanksgiving. Enjoy Thanksgiving for what it is, but here are some of the hottest deals in town. So, and by the way, it is exactly it's held on November 25, exactly a month before Christmas Day. So, Amazon has some amazing deals. On November 2nd, it launched its Black Friday's deal page. You can sign up to the site's newsletter online to be one of the first to know where the bargains are. It is a selection of deals and involves electronics, toys, pet supplies, clothing, jewelry, and more. geek-io.net/Amazon, for the record. excuse me, the online retail also do flash sales, so that are unannounced throughout the day, so enjoy that. Tesco, the supermarket chain, slashed prices to all-time lows on Black Friday on a range of goods. Deals on televisions, electronics are popular. eBay, if you cannot wait until November 25th, eBay has already launched its Black Friday page, adding daily deals in the run-up to the big day. You can now get 47% off a 43-inch Philips TV on the day. Expect reductions on the laptops, the most wanted toys, smartphones, and tablets. Currys, register your interest online and be alert when the sales begin. Last year's online sales kicked off at 6 a.m. You've got laptops, vacuum cleaners, and TVs. Argos, buy your deals online. Choose to click and collect and check it on Friday. Alternatively, you can head down to your local Argos or shop online to get it delivered. John Lewis has some stuff. Boots, Game, retailer Game, currently 50% off that. And, of course, Debrahams, I think. That is more so on clothing. They have currently have 24% off on men's, women, and children's clothing, homeware, and lingerie, plus more than 50% off Christmas decorations, towels, wrapping paper, bedding, and kitchen appliances. Well, that brings us to the end of... That brings us to the end of another broadcast. Thanks, everyone, for joining us here on A Generic Live Show. That's right. Donald Trump became... Donald Trump has become the president-elect of the United States of America. This is certainly going to be 2016 continues to not continues to impress us news watchers to the nth degree. It really kind of just pulls out some of the best stuff and just kind of grabs us and just make sure we pay attention. So this means that the biggest stories of 2016 just got a heck of a lot bigger. But that's going to do it for this week. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. GenericLiveShow@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. It's midnight.
This has been a podcast of the Geek AM Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net. Copyright 2016.